Just to let you know, I've had a few beers, so maybe the lunatic might come out.
No, I didn't hear any cracking of no nothing, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
That could have been Fresca. I drink Fresca too sometimes.
Can you mix drinks with Fresca?
Maybe.
Don't you mean is, hey Tim, don't you think they can mix drinks with Fresca? You can now.
Yes.
Okay.
You are listening to the Alouettes Flight Deck, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
All right, folks, we've been cleared for takeoff.
Give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now and give me a hell, give me a yell. Stand up right now, get ready to go. She ain't moving slow, she's taking control. Pushing the pedal through the floor, I'm begging for more. You better hold on tight.
Hey, hey. Welcome to the Alouettes Flight Deck podcast dedicated to Montreal Alouettes football. Sponsored by Bad Monkey Popcorn. I'm Tim Capper, along with Cliffy D. Have you dried out yet?
Just barely. I'm just look at that chill in my bones. The cold weather's not helping.
No, I'm saying that's the weather.
I hate to say it, but I used to think I was like the hardy soul that loved the cold and I was ready for like all Canadian and all that stuff. Like, screw that. No, I want summer. I want to move to Florida. The minute the temperature drops down to the teens or even the single digits, I want to get the hell out of here and just soak up the sun in Florida. I think that's what it is. That's what I got to do now.
So does that mean that you're going to be moving to Hollywood, Florida, like every other Quebecer?
Well, I do speak French, so I mean, I'll get along just fine there. I mean, why not this sea?
Yeah. I am, if anybody, no, it was, anybody saw the Thanksgiving Day game, it was just raining. And I give props, Cliff, to all the hardy souls that came out and stayed for the entire game. Mm-hmm. I really do, man. I mean, it was sparse to begin with, even though it was 18-8 was announced. You and I were speculating anywhere between 7 and 10, if that.
I really thought we were going to have like BMO level or BMO field level attendance this past Monday because, I mean, the weather was just brutal. Just the rain just did not stop.
No.
It reminded me of my trip to Regina last year, which was completely awesome. Very happy that I did it, but it really sucked. Sitting 3+ hours in the rain, wearing a poncho, which is essentially a glorified garbage bag.
Yes.
And even though I was happy that the Alouettes won out in Regina, come out here, and it was the exact same thing, other than I'm in Montreal, and the Alouettes didn't win. Yeah. So I guess it wasn't it. So yeah, these rainy games kind of suck when your team doesn't win.
Well, you know, for me, you know, game aside, which we'll talk about, I was getting soaked. You know, it's this Canadian Tire type of, you know, rain gear, pants and top and a jacket and whatnot, and it just did not do its job. I mean, you saw me; the water was pooling at my leg. I am reaching out to anybody. If you happen to work at a mountain equipment co-op, I kind of love your what is it called there? It's one of them. They're good. They're good for their rain gear, and I would be more than happy to trade sponsorship just to get a new raincoat. Monsoon. They're called Monsoon. The Monsoon raincoats are absolutely amazing.
Or failing that, get everything Scotch guarded. I think Scotch guard should be like 3M should sponsor an Alouettes game. And if it's a rainy ass game like this was,
yeah,
just have like people at the ready. Just as soon as you walk in the stadium, as soon as you get past the security and they do the wand to pass through, make sure you're not bringing anything bad into the stadium. Just as soon as you come in, they just spray you right away with
the
Scotch guard, and you're good.
You can't come to the stadium. Here, shut your mouth.
It's like those fancy restaurants where they make you wear a jacket. You know, instead of, you know, if you don't have one, they provide you with one. So yeah. In this case, provide you with some scotch guards so that all the water just repels off your back and you're good to go.
Or we can use that product there. What I don't remember what it is. It fills up all the cracks and stuff like that. It comes in either black or white, and you just spray it. You know, we could even put a hole into the bottom of this boat and put a screen door at the bottom and spray it with our product, and look, it still floats.
Oh, yes, Flex Seal.
Oh, yeah, Flex Seal. That's it. So, yeah, but, you know, that aside, I mean, the day was weird for me anyways. You know, with Montreal Transit running on a weekend schedule or holiday schedule, missed my bus. And you know what? Even though it was raining, Cliff, I said, screw it. So, you know what? I walked to the game in the rain.
That's dedication.
5 kilometers. I said, screw it. It's a direct route because I'm that close to downtown.
Uphill both ways?
I said, screw it. So I walked it, and I literally got there because I know you texted me right before I came in. And I got to the steps of our section that we were sitting, which is what we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes here. And just then, the national anthem started to play. So I made it in time. I made it more than enough time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, dedication. And needless to say, I was sore as hell yesterday. Really, really was. Okay. Seats. So, at Montreal Alouettes season ticket holders, and I can't remember if it's different for depending on what level you are of a season ticket holder with the Owls. But you get, they offer you a bank of money that you can use free of charge to buy extra tickets or upgrade your seats. And I said, you know what? And for myself, who is a 21-year veteran for season tickets, I'm under the legend class, and I get $250. So I said, you know what? I'm going to upgrade my seats. Let's have an afternoon game in the sun, hopefully. But let's do it for Thanksgiving. All the more reason to do it and to just see what it's like. See what the others, you know, see what those other fans see when they sit in their amazing seats.
Mm-hmm.
So we had our seats literally, because my friend Chris couldn't come. Mr. Chris, even though it was raining, that 55-yard line, first row for the bleachers, but I think it was fourth row overall. They were amazing seats, and you know what? Not once did you and I bitch about the rain. It was just the experience itself from sitting where we were that it completely changed how a fan can look at the game, considering when you can hear all the back and forth and the smack talk, and there was a ton of it between these two teams. And it really, I would do it again in a heartbeat. Hey, Serge, mm-hmm. He's my ticket guy. Serge, mm-hmm. I need to order some more tickets, please.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a very cool experience. Like I said, just to see how the other half, sort of live. To hear the banter back and forth between both benches, really, was tremendous. And to see the action up close like that, I mean, it's just really cool. I mean, I think our section, Y1, is pretty awesome. I mean, and it's so ironic when you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, we're covered in that section. We have no issues with weather at all when we're sitting there. The one time you decide, you know what, I'm going to upgrade the seats. It's going to be an awesome time. It's going to be great. And in theory, everything should have worked perfectly. But as the great poet Andre 3000 once coined, you can plan a pretty picnic, but you can't predict the weather. And sure enough, the skies opened up and rained right down on us. And you know what? That didn't even dampen my spirits. I was like, you know what? Fine. You wanted it to rain? Let's rain. Let's have some rain. We're still here. We're still going to enjoy this. Even if the fair weather fans have given up on this team, so be it. Tim and I were out there. We're still repping this team. We're still representing for this podcast. We're still representing for the true Alouettes fans that are going to stick by this team no matter what. And we're going to enjoy the hell out of this game until they get blown out, which invariably did happen. And
yeah,
at the end of the day, I still think we had an absolutely amazing experience. I really think it's really cool that the Alouettes have this system in place for longtime season ticket holders and
take advantage of it. Yeah, I spoke to a couple of them this week, and it's like, have you used your money? And they go like, no. I'm like, dude, there's only one home game left. How are you wasting basically $250? It makes no sense. And, and we're talking about fans and how fans think. We were lucky enough to have Tequan Underwood as our guest this week, and we will hear in a little while what he thinks when it comes to players and the fans, and maybe some misunderstandings about what it is like to be on a team that's 3-12. What we'll find out about, you know, with the conversation that we had with him in a couple of minutes. It was a fantastic interview. A great interview, man. But yeah, I would do these seats again. I really would. I mean, it's I didn't care. I was sitting in the rain. You know, it was the rain, as anybody who watched the game saw, that it caused some major issues at the beginning of the game. And it ended up causing the issues all around throughout the game. And it, you know, it's basically what sealed the game and the win for the Edmonton Eskimos in the fourth quarter. So it's, we had to talk about it sooner or later.
Well, and here's the thing that really is unfortunate about this. And what really sucks is that as a result of this loss, the Montreal Alouettes have officially been eliminated from the Grey Cup playoffs. Yes. So once again, another lost season for a number of reasons. But what really hurt, Tim, is the first half of this game was by and large a very exciting, very spirited affair. And you just saw everything. Like, you just saw touchdowns in the first quarter for the Alouettes. A pick six, if you can believe that.
A 15-point lead.
And everybody was just sitting there dumbfounded. Like, who is this team? And what have they done with our Alouettes? And why didn't they do it sooner? But my goodness, it's unbelievable just how things just sort of fall into place sometimes. And I'll say one thing. Props to Brandon Dozier on his incredible hit that caused the pick six that Brandon Stewart was able to take to the house.
Oh, yeah.
What an incredible effort. And everything just sort of falls into place. It was just absolutely fantastic. And turnovers were such a huge part of this game more than anything else. I mean, it just,
was that considered a pick six, even though it was CJ Gable running the ball? I thought that was considered a fumble, considering he was running with the ball. The helmet hit the ball, popped up.
I guess not.
They didn't call that a pick six, did they? The only pick six, as far as I knew, was the one in the fourth quarter.
Right. Well, I guess not technically a pick six, but I mean, just the fact that there was a...
The scoop and score.
I guess you can call it that.
Call it a scoop and score, yeah.
Call it a scoop and score. But Brandon Stewart, my word, this guy was on fire this past Monday.
Especially with the surprise scratch.
Of Mincy. Yeah, Jonathan Mincy did not play in this game. And yeah, it was, I guess that's, but again, this was how you sort of balance the ratio, because both Tyrell Sutton and Brandon Rutley were getting touches throughout this game.
Finally.
And let me tell you, the ground game worked, which I think that's what made it so maddening for the both of us, was they do so well. They would get like 10 yards, 11 yards, 14 yard carries, and just keep moving the chains downfield. It was great. And then Drew Willey would invariably throw a lousy pass that was either knocked down, batted away, hit the ground, or
tipped
into the arms of a Eskimos defender. And that really sucks. Because I don't want to harp on Drew Willey, because Lord knows everybody else is doing a much better job of it than we could ever hope to. But I'll give him credit. This was probably his best game as a Montreal Alouette. And he was put into a really lousy situation. I mean, this whole season has been a lousy situation for the Alouettes in general. But he stepped up and he played a solid game. I won't go so far as to say a good game. And he didn't necessarily, despite his picks, he didn't necessarily play a bad game. Some of this could be blamed on the weather, too. So, I mean, I don't necessarily want to castigate him unfairly as a result.
Considering the weather, he did well. 19 to 29, 193 yards, and two interceptions. And it hurt. It really hurt, because I think Edmonton scored 16 points off of turnovers, if I'm not mistaken. And what was the final score? 16. Well, it was more than 16, but I mean, but the 16, I would have neutralized the 16 points in the fourth quarter alone. So,
No, but Montreal had something really good going with the ground game, and why they got away from it, I just don't understand. I mean, Tyrell Sutton is a man on fire. Like, this guy is still on a mission. And
beast, yeah.
Like, I'll go ahead and say it. Like, as far as it's a little too soon, I think. It's not for another couple of weeks when they start talking about the Alouettes nominees for, like, the most outstanding player and such. But I would definitely say without question that Tyrell Sutton has to be in the mix for the 2017 Most Outstanding Player representative for the Montreal Alouettes, because he has just been absolutely phenomenal. He's over 1,000 yards rushing for this season, which is no big surprise to anyone, really. But 139 yards, 14 carries, this past, like, that's almost 10 yards a carry.
I know,
this,
that's crazy. And on this, top of that, too, Brandon Rutley, too, 6 carries, 51 yards. That's an 8.5 average.
So this is what's maddening more than anything else is you've got these two bona fide studs at the tailback position. And when you've got a quarterback that, I'm sorry, is Drew Willey. I'm not bad, but not good either. Rely on the ground game. And they were. And it gave us, you and I, so much hope that, okay, well, maybe they finally get it. Now they're getting him involved. J.C. Beaulieu finally got a touch as well. Maybe now this is what Montreal has to do to sort of, I don't want to say reinvent themselves, but at least sort of change things up for the sake of, at least you see now that when something's not working, try something different. And gosh darn it, maybe it might work, but then you get these awful passes that just get tipped, or Drew Willey gets sacked, or any other number of things that goes wrong, and it just all sort of falls apart from there.
Yeah. Now, I just want to make a correction to you. Sutton is actually 220 yards away from 1,000.
Oh, my apologies.
He's only at 780. But with the way he's going, two games versus Hamilton, he has a very good chance of getting to 1,000. It would be very similar to his last 1,000-yard season, where he was hurt for a couple of games, and he still made the 1,000-yard mark. B.J. Cunningham is this, so he's 100 yards shy. 100 yards of getting 1,000 yards. So we need some pluses. We really need some pluses for this team itself. I mean, it's but yeah, I agree. I mean, it was nice to have both the running backs. They complemented each other perfectly. I'm hoping that they do this more for the last three games of the season. Just a quick stat, by the way, for any Alouettes fans who may not know this, or CFL fans. As Cliff mentioned earlier before, this is the third straight year that the Alouettes will not make the playoffs. And Cliff, this is the first time that this has happened since 1967 through 1969.
Wow.
By the way, we haven't done this in a few games. Obviously, we're on such a long losing streak. But there does, for once, and I think you'll agree with me on this one, that there has to be a game ball, and it would go. It would go, A, first to Tyrell Sutton for his monster game that he had, and just heart alone. I would also give it to the fans that stayed. Uh-huh. Who stayed for the entire game. So honorable mention to the fans.
Yeah, the one thing we can say is that despite all of the rain, despite all of the everything, you know, the inclement weather that came down and everything, the one thing we can say, like, for those fans that stuck with it from start to finish, all four quarters, the ones that didn't give up on this team, we can truly say, despite the weather, our colors don't run.
No. By the way, I know I mentioned that I thought about wearing bags. We didn't do it, but two fans got the idea, and I hope they got it from us. Two fans almost three rows up from us were wearing the bags. And I don't think they would have stayed dried very well. They probably would have turned to mush, but they had the right idea. To show their displeasure with what's happening with the team this year, they had the brown bags going. Uh-huh. So now, obviously, yes, it is what it is. We've now lost 8 straight. We are, surprisingly enough, we are one shy, Cliff, of tying the all-time league record of 9 straight losses. Yes.
Well, when we wanted this to be a record-setting season, this isn't quite what we had in mind.
No, it is not. So the 8-game losing streak that we currently have, it says one loss away from tying the team record. for longest regular season losing streak. We've had 3 9-game losing streaks in team history, 1952, 1967, and 1981. That's hard to believe. Also, Cliff, 12 losses. We mentioned this before. I was wrong. I think it's at 13 before. 12 losses were actually two away, Cliff, from tying the team record of 14, which was set in 1982 and 1986. Obviously, I was not a happy camper again after the game. And I started the hashtag, the road to 15 losses. Hey, if we're going to break records, we might as well break something, right? I know they're negative records, but they're still records.
Yep. And I sincerely hope there's an absolute stud just waiting in the wings, because it really looks like the Montreal Alouettes are going to get that first overall pick in next year's draft.
It's funny. It's funny how to say that the two games versus the two or three games versus Hamilton will determine who's going to get the first pick in the CFL draft. I mean, I think if they lose one more game, I think they clinch it. It won't matter because Hamilton will win the head-to-head.
Yep.
So I don't think it'll matter.
I think it's a foregone conclusion. So, I mean, I guess it all depends who's going to be running this team next year. If this organization still believes that Kavis Reed is the man to lead this new regime, if you will, or if they are just going to clean house and start all over again, whoever it is going to have their pick of the litter, essentially. I really think that's how it's going to shape up now for the Alouettes, and I suppose that's a positive of sorts. I mean, the first overall pick hasn't really exactly set the world on fire in recent years, but that's what's beautiful about football, right, is the fact that you just never know where the next great football star is going to come from. Mm-hmm. And certainly changes are going to happen, because I take a look at this roster we have right now, and I mean, the fact that Montreal has 20-plus players that are 30 years and older, I'm not saying we should cut everybody who hits the dirty 30, but you take a look at some of these older folks, and if they're not going to retire gracefully, are we going to be showing them the door? And maybe should we be showing them the door? I think it's a bigger question, because this team has to get younger fast. And while some of these veterans are still playing at a very good level, it's still tough to see a lot of them are just not. And is that a matter of because this team is so poorly coached, or is it because they are finally starting to lose a step? Because let's face it, Father Time remains undefeated in life.
Yeah.
And no matter how good you are, I mean, quarterbacks, for example, can play into their 40s and still perform at a very high level.
At least in the CFL. I agree with you on that one.
But when it comes to other players, not so much. And at some point, Montreal is going to have to show some of these veterans the door if they're not going to leave gracefully. And like I said, I'm not going to start naming names just yet, but like I said, I take a look at this list of the 30-plus club, and yeah, there's a lot of them that still should be part of this team. But for everyone that should still be part of this team, there's at least one or two that I can look at square in the eye and say, you know what, you don't got it anymore, and I think it's time for you to go. And I guess whoever runs this team in the future is going to have to take that same look at that list and make these hard decisions as well. And it's not going to be fun for fans because, again, we do love our players. We do love our veterans. We love the guys that are true and true Alouettes, but we also have to start looking at the fact that we have missed the playoffs now for 3 years in a row, and that is not acceptable. After going 19 years of playoff games, this is simply not acceptable by Montreal Alouettes terms.
Yeah. One more thing we got to talk about, Cliff, before we head to the next segment. We have to talk about what happened at the end of the half. We really, really do. Because, you know, the Alouettes were driving, and something just weird seemed to happen. It just seemed, you know, you and I are watching the clock. They had to reset the clock because I think it was on a penalty and it started. So they reset it. I think it was back to 25 seconds. And then the Alouettes, I think, ran two plays and it was down to 8. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Alouettes do the infamous NFL spike the ball to stop the clock, right? Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, which I did not know, technically is not allowed in the CFL. There's no rule for it. There's no rule, a written rule for a spike the ball in the rule book. It's in the NFL rule book. So, okay. Saw that. And I think we ran – yeah, we spiked the ball. And my first thought to you was, well, why don't we call a timeout? We had the timeout available to us. What was the point of spiking the ball?
Agreed.
But it became even more clear why we still have the timeout. Because then you see coach and GM Kavis Reed look at the clock and basically I'm paraphrasing. Oh, look at the clock. Look how much time is left. I think it was down to 3 seconds at that point when they spiked the ball.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you not watching the clock? Something tells me that they were going to run another play thinking that they had more than enough time on the clock when in essence they could have come away with nothing. Luckily, we came away with 3 points. But clock management by Kavis Reed, it just seemed like did he have water in the ear? Did he have water in the knee? Did he have water in the brain? There was enough water to go around that afternoon, considering of all the rain. I don't think that was the cause. What was going on? I don't think anybody asked him at halftime. I didn't see the halftime show for TSN, obviously, because we were at the game itself. But it's just like he completely blanked on how much time was left on the clock, and it could have cost us. In the end, it wouldn't matter. It could have cost us 3 points. But you would think that a head coach and your OC would notice that type of thing, or any other coach would notice that type of thing.
And this just comes back to what I've been talking about as far as interim coach and whether Kavis Reed should still be a part of this team. As far as GM goes, I mean, that's kind of the – again, we'll discuss that in due time. But I think it's clear that, once again, this whole – GM/head coach thing in Montreal simply doesn't work. It didn't work with Jim Popp, and it sure as hell doesn't work with Kavis Reed. I mean, clock management is such an important thing, especially in the CFL. You've got time to make things work. And this was just an egregious example of just how poorly the clock was managed. And again, like, you're sitting there, we're sitting in the stands, and we're just fans at this point, right? Like, I mean, like, what the hell do we know? But if you got a timeout, you got to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's frustrating. It's maddening. It's any number of things that you want it to be. It's, yeah. I think Kavis Reed had made it very clear that the search is on for a new head coach for this team, and not a moment too soon, because, I mean, I try to give Kavis as much benefit of the doubt as possible as far as everything that's gone on for this season, but some of these things are just absolutely hard to defend. And sure enough, the Twitter critics are out with their consequences and this, that, and the other about him. And how do you defend that? You can't. You really can't. I mean, this is proof positive that I really hope this shows that Kavis Reed does not want to be the head coach of the Montreal Alouettes. And I'm very thankful for that. If he really just wants to be the general manager, then so be it. But let's just hope this is proof positive as to how important it is to hire a good coaching staff. And I'm talking about a completely good coaching staff, not just head coach, but offensive coordinator, play caller, what have you. Because what the Alouettes have right now is not going to cut it in the least.
No, no, it is not. Looking for something different from your snacks? Grab a bag of Bad Monkey Popcorn. Bad Monkey Popcorn is produced locally in Montreal in a number of mouth-watering flavors that will have your taste buds wanting more after just one kernel. Now available throughout Quebec in most major grocery stores, independent outlets, and selected cities across Canada. For more information, head to badmonkeypopcorn.com.
Hey folks, we appreciate your continued support of the Alouettes Flight Deck podcast. You can find all of our previous episodes over on Podbean. Just head to alouettesflightdeck.podbean.com. You can also find us on iTunes and Google Play Music by searching the keywords Alouettes Flight Deck. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @AlouettesFLDeck and check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/AlouettesFlightDeck. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about the show, you can shoot us an email, alouettespodcast@gmail.com. Once again, thanks so much for listening.
Hey, and on the phone with us now, we promised Alouettes players we got one. And we have an exciting dynamic wide receiver currently on the roster. I've been wanting to see him play a lot more, and hopefully we can talk about that. Wide receiver, Teaguan Underwood. Hey, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Tigon, we have to ask. I mean, we've been asking many players this, but we have to know about your history. We know you went to Rutgers, but what got you started in football? How early in age did you start playing football?
I started playing football at the age of 7, and I was a Pop Warner team in New Jersey, and it just took off from there.
Okay. Rutgers, very successful career at Rutgers, almost 2,000 total yards receiving, 16 touchdowns. Anything in particular from your time in Rutgers really stand out from your college career?
I would just say the players and the people that I met there. Like, I have great friendships, and my whole starting offense from my, I want to say my junior year, at one point or another played in the NFL. So that was pretty cool to see.
All right. Talk to us about your NFL career. I know you got drafted by the Jaguars, and you're pretty much infamous for being a part of the New England Patriots. Talk to us about that experience, and especially playing for Bill Belichick.
Playing in the NFL, it was pretty neat. Like you said, I got drafted in the 7th round to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and my career, it started pretty slow. I didn't really play much in those early years. And then in 2011, I ended up with New England, and that changed things for me, playing under Bill Belichick and learning Welker, Deion Branch, Ocho Cinco. It really taught me how to be a professional on and off the field. And Belichick, hands down, the best coach I've ever played for. Like, it's no secret why their organization is so successful, because it's a standard, and everybody has to fall in line. And I'm just grateful to say that I played under him and for a great organization like the New England Patriots.
Oh, fantastic. Now, compared that to your CFL experience, first playing in Hamilton and then for Montreal, a lot of people in the past have compared Jim Popp, who brought you into the Alouettes organization. They kind of compare him to Belichick in the sense that he knows how to build a successful franchise. Would you find there's a lot of parallels to how Belichick runs a team in the NFL versus how Jim Popp runs things in the CFL?
Absolutely. They're both general managers, and they both have a great eye for talent. And Jim Popp proved that in Montreal and doing it now in Toronto. Toronto wasn't that good as a team last year, and in 1 year, they're top of the East, so it speaks for itself. And you see what Belichick does from year to year with different guys. It's all about having an eye for talent and what you're trying to do, and they're both great at it.
So when you were first approached about coming to the CFL, had you heard about the CFL? Did you know about anybody who had played in the CFL before, or was it just you're coming in completely blind?
I knew a little bit about it. We had a linebacker I played with at Rutgers University, Damaso Munoz. I believe he was with Edmonton, and I know he was with Ottawa. And my cousin Patrick Brown, sometime in Saskatchewan, he actually played with Darian Durant. So I knew a bit about the CFL, and as I got interest from Hamilton, when Sean Burke reached out to me, I started paying attention a little more. And I was fortunate enough to go to a good organization in my first year here with Hamilton and learning from guys like Tommy Condell, who was our offensive coordinator at the time, now the receiver coach in Toronto. He just taught me so much about the game, because it's so different when you're coming from down south. It's a bigger field. The throws are different, the routes. So just to learn the actual game, that helped me tremendously.
Now, as far as the receivers coaches that you've got now in Montreal, obviously things aren't quite turning out the way we had hoped they would here in Montreal. But I mean, what are you picking up more than anything else from the coachings that you've had so far with the Alouettes?
Well, this year we have Coach Hogan, and earlier this year we had Coach Jock. And no matter how it's going, whether we're playing well or not, just be a constant professional. Come to work and be ready to work on and off the field. Study the game plan and go out there and put in work. Like you said, things haven't gone the way we hoped on the field. And one thing I will say, this team has never quit. It's a great group. One of the best groups that I've been a part of since college, actually, as far as how close we are as a team. It's just unfortunate that we couldn't put together enough wins to make a playoff run. Some balls didn't bounce our way this year for whatever reason, but one thing about this team, we just kept fighting, and we're going to continue to do so. And we had three more opportunities to go out there and showcase our talents for this organization.
No, you're right, too. And you bring up a very good point, Tigwan, is that, you know, when you look at what Charles Sutton did this week in one-man wrecking crew, I know he's trying to do everything that he could. Now, as a fan, I mean, people see, as you're saying, things can be a little bit things. People can see different things or think different things from what they see on the field. What when it comes to a team that whether you're 3-10 this year or 3-12 or whatever, what is one thing that you think that fans may be confused about when it comes to a team, whether you're at 500 or whether you're a couple games under 500? What's the one thing that's maybe misleading to a fan that they may not know about a football team?
I would say we get graded on wins and losses, and sometimes we could get lost in that. Because one thing I will say, as a general manager, Kavis Reed is doing everything he can to change the culture of the team, and it doesn't happen overnight. And I'm sure the next head coach he brings in here is they're going to be on the same page. Mm-hmm. Which is a big thing. And we all know in the CFL, it's a quarterback-driven league. The teams that are at the top of their conferences or divisions, they have great quarterback play. And it's about taking care of the ball and your quarterback leading your team. And we have Drew Willie, we have Dan Durant, and some younger guys. And Darren's been there before, winning the Grey Cup, and Drew's played well in this league. But ultimately, you need that leader to lead the team, and everybody has to be on the same page, because as you saw in these, what we played 15 games, it's a lot of talent on this team. Mm-hmm. It's just that we weren't always pushing in the same direction with one common goal, understanding together how we can accomplish and how we can win. And I think when they find a head coach that would do that, it will show on the field on game day and wins and losses.
Now, as you know, with the ratio that the CFL has, it's funny. Cliff and I have been talking, Matt, quite a bit, and I've been pushing for you to hopefully to be, you know, to be a starter or on top of the depth chart when it comes to each week. Has the ratio thing been a little bit of a frustration to you, knowing that, you know, maybe like fans like myself think that we think that you should be starting rather than a backup?
Yeah, I will admit. Well, my time in Hamilton, we were loaded at receiver. We had Andy Fantuz, Luke Tasker, Bakari Grant, myself, Terrell Sinkfield, Quincy McDuffie, and Junior Collins. The list goes on. So when I first got here, I didn't understand the ratio. So it was a bit of a frustrating and a bit of a headache. But as I've learned the CFL rules and just learning the game, this year, it hasn't been frustrating for me because I understand how things work now. And it is what it is. And at the end of the day, the guys that dress have to perform. And as a teammate, you just try to help your teammates and tell them what you see out there, because we're all just trying to win games. It's not about just individual play. It's about collectively winning games. So don't get me wrong, I'm a competitor and I want to play each and every week, but at the end of the day, it is what it is, and I understand that.
All right, let's lighten things up a little bit, Tiquan. What's your favorite part about being in Montreal as far as like the city itself, like the fans, the restaurants, what have you? What's the one thing about Montreal that really stands out for you as a football player?
Number one, the fans. I honestly, when we come out of the locker room and we have that long walk to the field, and we're clapping hands with the fans. That is unbelievable. And two, I would just say the city itself, because the food places are, man, amazing. There's so many different cultures and different type of people. It's night and day from where I came in Hamilton. Like, I just love being downtown Montreal. I actually live in Griffintown, and my wife and my kids, they love it.
So where can we find the Underwood family going for dinner after a game?
After a game. Our go-to right now is Moretti's. It's in Griffintown. They're known for like pizza and some good appetizers. Or Venice, they have some very good chicken tacos.
Ooh.
Nice. Have you happened to be able to try poutine yet, Tiquan?
I've heard about it. I haven't given it a try yet. But before I leave Montreal, I definitely want to try it.
Dude, I tell you what. We'll take you to La Banquise. That is the place to go for poutine. It is absolutely fantastic. You'll love it there.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. Let's do it.
All right. Okay.
One last question before we let you go, and I think we save the best question for last, because Cliff, so when we heard we were interviewing you, we said we had to ask. So, Tiquan, we have to ask, the hair, the hair, is it an homage to Christopher Kid Reed from Kid and Play, or is it just you?
Oh man, it started in 2010 as a joke, actually.
Oh really?
A couple of my buddies, they dared me to do it, and it just took off from there. I got the haircut. It was pretty low at the time, and over the years it's grown. And the kid that you're talking about, Christopher Reed, he actually reached out to me on Twitter about it, which was pretty cool.
That's cool.
But I love it. It's not high maintenance at all, and it actually stands pretty well even after wearing a helmet.
I wondered about that with the helmet.
Yeah,
like, how does it work and all that? But that's awesome.
Well, Tiquan, we really appreciate your time. I know we have one more home game to go, and it's going to be against your original team that you came to the CFO with, Hamilton. We wish you all the best. We hope to see you back here, obviously, in 2018, and good luck to you for the rest of the season.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to playing against Hamilton, and thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Once again, thanks to Tiquan Underwood for joining us. It was cool to talk to them, man. I mean, the guys seem very down to earth, very, you know. Sometimes you hear it within players' voices, the guy seemed very humble. The guy seemed very appreciative to where he was in football. And as I mentioned, you know, during the interview, I just want him to be able to get the chance to play, because you know, he may have not gotten that much of a fair shake in Hamilton. We were able to pick him up, and he's done good things. I mean, for the chances that he's had, and considering all the issues that we've had this year. Yeah, I hope he's back in 2018. It'll be really cool.
Yeah, no, just an absolutely great guy to chat with. Absolutely solid player. You're absolutely right. The few opportunities he's had to shine, when his number has been called, he steps up to the plate 9 times out of 10, which, again, you can't ask for more than that. And just an absolutely wonderful person. Make sure you shoot him a follow on Twitter. I think his Twitter handle is @TIUnderwood. Absolutely great guy, and yeah, I definitely hope he stays part of this organization for years to come.
Yeah. Couple of things before we finish up. As you know, we do have a bye week this week, so no lines to figure out, even though I think I still checked, and I think the Alouettes are still like a 3-point underdog this week.
Well, and the trading deadline also came and went, and yeah, the Alouettes didn't make any moves.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. Are you surprised about that? I think a lot of people were, you know, they were either on the fence, or they're like, WTF, man. You know, there could have been some players. I think somebody put out a post. I don't remember where it was. I think it was 3 Down Nation who put one out saying, you know, the 5 players that could or should be traded by the Alouettes. But it's just a matter of, do teams want to give up something for them?
Well, that's just it. I think if the Alouettes were just willing to let these veterans just walk, essentially, like, for a song, I'm sure, of course, the teams would be more than happy to scoop them up. But I mean, I think there's still a lot of value to a lot of these guys, and that's why they're still Alouettes at the end of the day. I'm sure a lot of people have thought John Bowman, for example, who just poured his heart and soul into this team for years and deserves so much better than what he's gotten right now. I've said it behind his back, and I've even said it to his face this past Monday, is that he deserves so much better than what he's been getting right now. And I don't think anybody would be truly mad if he were traded to a Grey Cup contender today. But lo and behold, it didn't work out. And whether this is going to be his last season or not, I can't say for certain. And I'm sure even John himself isn't 100% sure of that answer himself. But should he have gone to a Grey Cup contender? That would have been cool. I definitely think he definitely deserves one more ring. But the guy is an Alouette through and through. And if that means he's going to finish his career having only played for the Alouettes, like Anthony Calvillo, like Ben Cahoon, I won't be mad at that whatsoever. As much as I'd love to see this guy get another championship, if that means that he stays a true and true 100% Alouette, man, I'm okay with that too.
Yeah. It seems like when it comes like the NFL, I think in football alone, Cliff, trade deadlines are sort of like meh. You know, I mean, it's not like basketball. It's not like baseball, where teams are basically, a rent-a-player for an X period of time if they're close to being able to be in the playoffs and whatnot. So I guess it's a little bit different when you have the salary cap that the CFL does. I mean, it's just a matter they want to trade something. They don't want to trade a player on the neg list. They don't want to, whatever it may be. So I guess it's up to me. It is just a date on the football calendar. Really? I mean, it's...
And the last exciting trade deadline day that happened was about 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago in 2015 when the Alouettes had required the services of Kevin Glenn and the Stampeders had acquired Jerome Messam from the Riders as well.
Yeah.
So that's the only trade deadline day action that really stands out to me. Otherwise, it is kind of – there's speculation always, and even this year there's a ton of speculation as to whether Zach Caleros would be moved or would other teams sort of wiggle and jiggle things around. But you sit and think about it, and a lot of these players are going to be free agents at the end of the season anyways. So do you really want to give up a whole lot for, like you said, essentially a rental player, like a guy who's going to play for 3-4 weeks max or possible potentially or at least a minimum of 3-4 weeks and then go into the playoffs and hopefully help you get to the promised land? I mean, it's so tough. And I'm pretty sure Kavis Reid had fielded a few offers today as far as trying to move certain players and all that. But if he stuck to his guns and insisted, okay, fine, you want a John Bowman, you want a Chip Cox, you want whomever, okay, well, you better be prepared to pay for it, sucker, because I still see the value in these guys. And if you don't, then you ain't getting them either. So I guess when push came to shove, these guys are still very much Montreal Alouettes, and maybe that's just the way it's supposed to be. I mean, I still think changes are going to come this offseason. There's absolutely no question about that whatsoever. But by and large, this was a pretty quiet deadline day, as it often is. Like I said, 2 years ago was the exception rather than the rule. But I think anyone who's looking for that holy crap deal to happen today, yeah, they were pretty disappointed as to what went down, which was absolutely nothing.
Yep. Oh, and by the way, just happened to be seeing this. I think we talked about it slightly before. It looks like, according to Herb Zerkowski of the Montreal Gazette, Kavis Reid will be back as the GM of the Montreal Alouettes in 2018.
Well, and again, I guess the idea is that Kavis was kind of saddled with the whole Jacques Chapdelaine hire, which I don't think the Wet and Hull group had hidden whatsoever, that whoever the general manager has to accept the fact that they wanted Jacques Chapdelaine as the head coach of this team. So that unfortunately meant that certain people that were interviewed probably decided to just decline the position if it was offered to them, based on the simple fact that if they can't hire their own people, then what's the point? And I really hope now that the Wet and Hull family has learned as a result that, you know what, you have to trust your football people to make football decisions. It's all well and good to have a suggestion. If Andrew Wet and Hull decides, hey, guess what, I really think it'd be really cool if you hired insert coach's name here, great. It's always great to offer up suggestions. But if you make it a mandate that, no, you're going to hire this person because I really, really, really want him, and I think he'll be really, really good for this team, and it blows up in your face, at that point you have to sort of say, okay, well,
wait a minute. We've seen that happen before, Dan Hawkins. So,
for example, I'll go so far as to say Tom Higgins.
I was okay with that choice, actually.
Well, listen, he had more – okay, compared to Dan Hawkins, was a good call. But the game had passed him by. And now you're bringing in Ken Miller, who, I'm sorry, sounds like an absolutely wonderful person. I heard his interview on the Piffles podcast and sounds like an absolute gem of a human being. I'll never take that away from him. But what is Ken Miller at 70 years old going to offer to these young kids at this point? I'm sorry, but this is a game. This is a young man's game. And what's Grandpa Miller going to offer advice to for Dondre Wright or Tevon Campbell or any of these other youngsters, like Greg Henderson or Jonathan Mincy? Like, I don't think he can relate to them on that level. So if you're going to keep Gavis Reed as a head coach, which I'm still kind of on the fence of just based on the moves and everything that we've seen in 2017, if you're going to keep him as a head coach, as a general manager, so be it, I guess. I guess we're just going to have to bite that bullet. But let Kavis hire the right people. Let him hire people that are going to make proper football decisions and hire a real coaching staff. No more of this patchwork nonsense that we've seen this year. It's embarrassing. It's bad enough that every time the Alouettes do something stupid, which seems to be weekly, what's the first thing everybody goes to? Consequences. Consequences. I am sick and tired of hearing about fucking consequences from everybody on Twitter. Okay, we get it. Yeah, Kavis Reed was a bit of a boob back in the day. I like to think he's learned and grown since then. The fact that he's made some of the moves that he has really doesn't really speak to that, but maybe it really does come down to being hindered by management, being hindered by this ownership group who just can't stay out of their own way. And if that's the case, like, just let Kavis Reed make the decision. And if he truly, truly blows it, then throw his ass out. In fact, I am very much a proponent that you have to clean house, like a really, truly clean house and start over again. And if that means Kavis, if you absolutely have to keep Kavis Reed, I'm very much 50-50 on this right now. But if you are going to keep him with the true belief that he is going to turn things around, so be it. But then let him bring in the proper people. Don't let him hire these jabronis and former legends and other people that you think are kind of cool and you kind of want to have around for any number of reasons. You got to bring in the best possible football people possible.
Man,
because
you know
this is not a training ground. This is not preschool. This is not an internship. This is the Canadian Football League. And I don't give a who says otherwise. This is a professional football league, and you need professionals to lead the professionals that you have on the field. So if you don't hire the best possible people, then all you're doing is just robbing season ticket holders of their money. Anyone who buys merchandise and buys into this team, you're stealing their money, and they deserve a hell of a lot better than that.
You know what? I know when you break out the Attitude Era, the Rock jabroni, that you're very serious.
Oh, listen, if you want me to, I'll cut a whole promo if you want. Maybe I'll do that because I know there's a few wrestling fans that listen to us. Maybe for the last podcast of the year, maybe I'll just go full on WWE promo for you guys. Just to do that. We'll put it to a vote. We'll see how that works out. All right.
Cliffy's gonna shoot. Couple of interesting things. I was off in the Maritimes this past weekend, and I went to Lunenburg, Nova Scotia, and a little birdie had told me that a former Alouettes player, Cliff, did own a souvenir shop.
Do tell.
Yes. And the rumors are true. So I was there, and I went. It's right near the water because Lunenburg is such a small but fascinating and beautiful small town. Right near the water, went into what is called the Admiral Benbow Trading Company, and I go in there and look around, whatever, nonchalantly, and then I get to the cash, and who is it that is there at the cash, Cliff? None other than former Alouettes and CFL kicker, Terry Baker.
Hold up. Grey Cup champion, Terry Baker?
Grey Cup champion, Terry Baker, behind the thing. And I shook his hand. I said it was a pleasure to meet him, which it was. And you know, he'd been they had owned it since 2002, so it's a year before he retired from the CFL and from the Alouettes. So I think one of the funnier anecdotes was is I went back in there because a friend of mine went back to get something because she really had to have these crab pants. You can take that comment forever however you like it, guys. And I said to him, I said, listen, well, why do you have a Saskatchewan Rough Riders flag flying outside of your business? He goes, well, do you remember that I did play with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? Yeah. And he said, I was actually asked by a Riders fan who came there. So he goes, why don't you have a flag of the Riders outside of your business? And he had said to him that, well, if you send me one, I will put it out there on Riders game day. Well, needless to say, I said, Terry, may I please have your card? Sure enough, got his card. And as soon as I can find one, there will be a Montreal Alouettes flag flying outside of his – will be sent to him and hopefully be flying outside of his shop for every Alouettes game day for the near future.
Oh, absolutely. I'm aghast at the idea that Riders Nation is being represented in Nova Scotia by a former Alouette. I mean, yes, he did play for the Riders. I'll give him that. Mm-hmm. But no love for the Alouettes? No, we got to fix that. Don't you worry. Terry, we will get you a flag.
And what I'm going to try to do, too, is I'm going to try to get, if possible, because I know, obviously, with him running the shop, I'm going to see if it's possible if we can schedule an interview with him, whether it be before the season ends or for next.
Oh, hey, listen, as you can see, we have no bias when it comes to former Alouettes, whether it's past players like our good friend David Sanchez, or as you just heard now, current players such as our new friend Tequan Underwood. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you are a Montreal Alouette, with past, present, or, well, I guess you can't really say future because we never know what the future holds. But,
well, they're currently on the neg list.
Yeah, there you go. We should start interviewing neg list players. Yeah, sure. Hey, what do you think it's going to be like to play for the Alouettes? Cool, I guess.
Someday. Also, some other things, too. Just want to give, and it's somebody that you and I have had to deal with specifically this year, and it's a gentleman who has given a lot of love to the Canadian Football Podcast family. Specifically, it's Paulo Senra, who is currently the media director for the Canadian Football League. He announced just the other day that he is going to be leaving his post with the Canadian Football League after approximately just about 3 years, and he's going to be going to new adventures and a new position with a semi-startup company within Canada. So I just wanted to say, Paulo, thank you for everything that you did, especially this year, by promoting and showing that fan-run podcasts, Canadian football podcasts, are a part of the landscape within this country. We have many opinions, multiple opinions from everybody within the nine teams, and the other ones that aren't affiliated with the teams, you know, like the guys over at Two and Out, you know, they're league-centric. But thank you for giving us the platform in order to say something and promoting us. And Cliff and I think the best thing we can do is we can say just thank you and good luck in your future endeavors.
Absolutely. Paulo is just an absolutely wonderful human being, has done so much work for the Canadian Football League, has really helped it grow. And as we always say, like, you try to leave this world a better place than where you found it. And I think that's what Paulo's done with the Canadian Football League. I mean, it has grown tremendously under his watch. And I'm not saying it's all just because of him, but he has definitely worked his butt off to really make this league grow and flourish on the not just like the media perspective, but also including all of us, so to speak, in like the podcaster realm and pretty much anything to do with social media. He has been on the forefront of that, and he's really helped that really grow and become such a major thing within Canada. And my hat's off to him, and I definitely wish him all the best going forward in his new adventure. And I think he has definitely left this league in a much better position than when he took over about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Once again, Paulo, hats off to you, my friend. All the best. And no matter what, you're always welcome, not just in the flight deck, but I think pretty much any of the Canadian Football Podcast Network shows would be more than happy to consider you a friend and a partner still.
Yeah. And finally, something that we would promise that we would get an update to, which we finally did last week, and it was after we'd already taped the show, so we couldn't add it into what we'd already taped. But if anybody remembers, we happened to speak with the Alouettes VP of marketing, Bernard Eslin, a couple weeks ago, and we talked about some specifics that maybe that the team might be able to do when it comes to hearing from or being able for you as a fan being able to contact the team and to comment, make suggestions, complain, whatever it may be when it comes to operations, things to do with the team operations, nothing to do with what is with on the field. But we finally received an email from Bernard, and we wanted to mention that. Okay, any fans, whether you are attending a game, whether you are have attended a game, again, any questions, comments, or concerns, there is one way that you can contact him and his team at the Alouettes HQ on St. Catherine Street, is at suggestions@montrealalouettes.com. Again, that's suggestions@montrealalouettes.com. And we can't thank Bernard enough for setting this up and showing that the team is very dedicated to its fan base. And from what we have heard and from some of the responses that we've received back from conversations that we've had off air, they do listen and they do give feedback to what you actually suggest or have an issue with. So,
yeah, no, folks, like, we are promoting this because we know that we're not the only ones that have voiced our opinions as far as to what we'd like to see as far as the game day experience goes and what we expect from the team. Now, if you're going to just email the team and say, bench Durant and start this guy, like, no, don't do that. You just look silly. But if you truly have a question, concern, a comment, what have you, if there's anything that the LOS can do to improve your game day experience, then definitely hit them up with this email address. Once again, it's suggestions@montrealalouettes.com. And they have told us that they do have one person at the very least dedicated to strictly going through all these emails and finding out what the concerns are, what the complaints are, and what they can do to improve the game experience for everybody. So if you have a true, honest-to-goodness, constructive criticism, or just a general comment, say, hey, you know what? Why don't you try this? This might be a cool idea to try it out, and maybe fans will appreciate it. They want that. They are craving that. That's the reason. Like, we sort of kind of suggested this, and lo and behold, it's now a thing. So, I mean, if nothing else, this is proving that the Montreal Alouettes organization is listening to its fans. So you've got a voice now. You have an opportunity to make yourself heard. Email them if you have any questions, any comments, any concerns, any way to improve your experience as an Alouettes fan. They want to hear it. So let them know.
Yes. Yes. And again, if you, for whatever reason, if you can't contact them, shoot us an email. Or contact us on Twitter, and we will send them the question, and hopefully get an answer. And we'll update you as soon as we do get that information. So, so no game this week. Enjoy all the rest of the CFL action that's going to be happening this weekend, because there are still some playoff implications. With the rest of the teams that are currently in the league, even though the Alouettes have been eliminated. And as I said, the Alouettes have the bye week, and they're going to be tuning up for Hamilton in 2 weeks. So we'll have more to talk about next week about that. And any suggestions, too, on who you might, on any future guests, please let us know, and we'll be more than happy to see if we can get those people on the show as best as possible. So for everybody here at the Alouettes Flight Deck for Cliffy D, I'm Tim Capper. We're on Final Approach. Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.